Wade with Rick this Sunday after supper, this 1st of October, 72. Channel 2 Right, beginning visit with Wade with Rick this Sunday after supper, the 1st of October, 72. Channel 2 Right, and beginning a visit with Wade with Rick this Sunday after supper, the 2nd, the 1st of October, 72.
Like business.
Okay. Look, chat, sit down. Now, you don't have to stay, take me about 5 minutes. Anything to eat?
Oh, just finished eating.
Peas
and corn.
Now there's several things. This, man that ran against for Congress. You know the congressman?
Oh, I see it. Fuquay?
Fuquay.
Ed Skinner.
Skinner.
Yeah. Of all things, he's going and taking some courses up there, and he wants to live in Micanopy.
Fuquay? Or Skinner?
Skinner.
Skinner.
Hell, Fuquay's a millionaire.
Yeah.
And he could put you on the map. He going around and see him make speeches all the next year or two.
Yeah.
And if you had him as your neighbor, now you see you can hustle around there and find a place. I don't mean you, but I mean some of those yearlings over there. What's wrong with Mr. Weaver's old store there?
Just needs to be bought.
Well, you rent it. Live upstairs.
I don't know Skinner's circumstances, whether he could put up with that or not.
Him and his wife and 2-year-old. I never been in there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's remodeled upstairs or what.
Not quite.
Well, it don't matter, does it?
It's pretty crude.
They got running water. Well, he could remodel it a little himself, couldn't he?
Oh, yes.
And now, he's your kind. I mean, he can move.
I don't know a thing about him. I just thought
he was
better than this Fuquay. And that.
Yes, I'm telling you, I saw him, and I've heard about him never the other day, all this past 2 months. He can move. And he just as dumb as they come. You see, he run for Congress here, and he come out for labor, and for, what else was it, Rick?
Wasn't going to be a country club politician?
No, don't you know he was against the war?
Mm-hmm.
He took all of McGovern's positions.
Support the blacks.
And the population is not 9/10 redneck, but an area is 9/10 redneck. Now that's what sort of blunder he makes. So he could learn from you all.
And he just didn't think too much about compromise while he was going after something.
He just stuck his foot in, that's all. And the people he worked with didn't know any better either. Isn't it amazing?
Even this McGovern guy's crying and wishing he hadn't done certain things. He doesn't know. Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
Time was right, but not quite that right.
It was right 4 years ago, 8 years ago or something.
Still got to do a whole lot of lying to get along in this world in that position.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you. I have a chance now. I'm getting a little toehold to get a grant.
Mm-hmm.
And to work on this stuff. And you know, it's a perfect windfall. I certainly didn't intend to get involved in all that. And I don't think Rick did. But you see, the work that Rick's done on that revolution over there through you and me in the background, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that's happened and been recorded. And nobody who took part of it knows what happens or could set it down.
No. Yeah, in reading that, I found my biggest fault is that I can't be the one to read what Rick wrote and say too much about it because I'm too close to it.
Yeah.
I can't tell whether it comes across or doesn't. I'll nitpick about this thing and probably forget about something else.
Well, you
it's
see,
too close in it.
Yeah, you can't. It's not any good, you see. It's better than I can do and all like that. But it's just warming up, you see.
Yeah, it's got a long
ways to go. You see, there's more.
Well, I'm just thinking about, like, when you get into something, you hardly ever realize what's going on about it unless you have the ability to do it. To be there and be off at the same time somehow. Back off and consider it.
Well, now, yes, I know it. Yes. And when you're right in it, you see, you're so full of it. Well, now you see, Rick can work on it a little bit more. Just one time won't hold up. We just did that. He just did it. We had to focus on something, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting is this first one before that, the second session upstairs.
Yeah, that's when George got up and did his stomping around about the fire escape.
Yes. Everything happened that night. It was rich. That's when the deputy was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work that up. And you're going to have a narrative, the whole thing. And Rick got it all, you see. Not got it all, but he got right smarter. And it'll hold up. Now, you see, his style, his prose is good.
Yeah, he got slicking along there after you moved into it a ways. Started rolling.
Yeah. Well, you see the thing that the shift we made was we weren't using the minutes any longer. We were letting these champions perform.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the man ahead and then letting the water report go, taking second place. And that'll make a big difference. But you see, that's new to me, too. We just getting into it. Now, you see, in a general way, what I find is these birds up here study the masterpieces, but they don't know how to report on the town council. And furthermore, they don't know anything about the masterpieces.
No, it's impossible.
They don't know anything about them. And but you see, they write learnedly. Well, why don't they write learnedly? Or we can do it. I don't mean that. We can do it. You've got to find. You see, you got to see it. Then you got to sell it. And you see, the art of it is selling it and making it accessible to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the art of it. Well, you see, I find that nobody has paid any attention to Mark Twain and Ms. Rawlins. They don't say how she writes those Cross Creek sketches. And I can't write them. You see, you got no one doing that. So you see, everything that you see, oh, well, no use getting all involved in that. But now, it may be, you see, you're going to get me to help you on that college thing up there. I may have to get you to help me on that grant thing. Put a word in somewhere when I find out where to put it.
Where exactly to put it.
Yeah. Now,
good God, I was just thinking about that Mark Twain and reading his Going West, is it?
Yeah.
Talk about narrative. I mean, just... Is it just like a reporting of his journey?
Yeah.
That's
but you can't do it.
Oh, good
I
Lord.
I couldn't do it. I don't know anybody who can.
That's fine. That's just beautiful stuff. And it's just every day, just riding down the road.
Yeah. Well, now, like yesterday, when I come up there, you see, I was just excited as I could be. I had just seen that McQuinney girl, daughter-in-law, so that garbage can up there. It was greatest of ease. Them long, skinny arms of hers just soared up there and didn't touch her body at all. Well, that's just revelation.
I just washed right off George because Edie can do the same thing. Furthermore, she can run him right out of the house. Just as slick as you please. She'll make him run, and he's the meanest thing walking, according to him.
She is.
He is.
He
He's the meanest thing running, but she can run him anywhere she wants to. And she flares, and she can do that thing with that garbage. You know, she's got power.
She can do it, too.
Oh, yes. I told you the story about her loading
that
horse
that
and
horse.
Just laying the finger wide open and just didn't make a lick of difference.
Yes.
Going out and doing that wash.
And then she treated it with sodium potassium or something.
She didn't even treat it to start with, and then when it got infected, she just got scissors and cut all the flesh off and wrapped it up and went back out and did the washing again.
Yeah.
And she's got that kind of stamina, and she's slight, really slight.
Yeah.
She's even more slight than that girl you saw, practically speaking.
I saw her. I sat behind her. That night at the meeting, behind her and George, and she was a little eagle-eyed or brown-eyed, snake-eyed.
She's up for fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has got a voice to match it.
Yeah.
Oh, is she?
Oh, yes. Just clear and sharp.
Yeah, when she gets mad, particularly.
Yeah.
I overheard George just 2-3 days ago. I walked out the front door and somebody's sitting on the bench and says, well, why didn't you buy a house? Why did you go ahead and move the trailer? Because he'd had property and was going to put a house on it and all this kind of stuff. And he always talks about having money, like money's not his problem. The truth of which I have no idea. But anyhow, he just made the flat statement. It was one of these girls that lived next door sitting down there. He made the flat statement. He says, well, why didn't you just buy a house or move? So why'd you move the trailer? To fight Micanopy? He didn't beat around the bush. Nothing else. It was a flat statement.
That's true.
To fight Micanopy. And it'll keep up as long as anybody in Micanopy gainsays him in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So they realize that he's king, and then he might decide to move somewhere as soon as he's made his point perfectly clear. And if people are not going to let him make his point, he'll stay there.
Oh, they're not. They're going to keep...
Well, if they keep messing with him... If they don't let him have every movement that he wants to make and not say anything about it, he'll stay there.
Well, he's putting up a shed.
Yeah, he's already put up a shed, and I still don't know whether he's got a permit to do it or not.
Well, he got no place to get a permit from. Council's not operating.
He's probably got that all figured out.
Yeah. He'll get it up before the council gets in shape again.
Yeah.
In between.
Well, that looks just like a privy.
He's something else, that man. He really is.
Yeah.
This is pure and simple, to fight McAnopy.
Yeah. Oh, they've all got that sort of clenched fist attitude when they talk. Old Sanders, what's his name?
Jack.
Yeah. He was cussing that same night about the water. Oh, that was another night.
Mm-hmm.
He said he didn't have the water down his place, and when they come to put it in, he going to slap the hell out of them.
Yeah, he's got a big bad thing going about that. And he figures that they can come command him to do that, but yet they don't spray him for mosquitoes, and they hadn't made cable TV company put in the TV's cable. They don't really collect his garbage and all this other stuff, and they want him to come pay for that water. And
yeah.
He'd be damned if he's going to do it.
Yeah.
It's right interesting about a person like Jack, how he can be just as really easy and straightforward and understanding about anything that he's up to, like fishing or carpentry work or everyday living, drinking, or whatever like that. Comes to something like that city government, and his head just goes click. And it's like stone, and there's no reason left. I mean, because he's a perceptive person. Jack's perceptive.
But he didn't talk it that night.
No, they get off on that, and they won't. It's something that happens. A big curtain drops,
yeah.
And they can't see through any piece of that thing. It's all against them. The same with George, is the whole city.
Well, you were standing out there, or was you? Well, anyhow. He was out there. We're going home. It was dark. Just stand outside the steps there, and he had that fist clenched all the time.
He's got more insight than a lot of individuals I've run into. He's got a lot of warmth about him, and he even owns up like he doesn't feel like he fits anywhere. So he doesn't fit with the Reds. He doesn't fit with the young hippie group. Nobody's ever, he just doesn't have any place to go, and I can understand it, because he doesn't. He'll sit over there and talk with these rednecks, and he'll get disgusted with the way they act.
Yeah.
Their attitude and whatnot.
Oh, well.
And he just doesn't like it. Then, of course, they tease him because he hadn't worked in 2 years. And they think he's putting them on, whether he's not is or not, doesn't make too much difference.
Yeah.
You know, whether his back really is bad or not, that's no consequence to me, but they down him about that, because every time a big job comes up, he gets down the back. He can't work.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way it used to be, Wade. Nobody, you know, that's for your time. But a lot of people like to have a job, public works and things like that, but they never had a regular job. And it's this regular job that breaks your back, you see. 5 days a week, 5 and a half days a week, just kills them. Now they can work a day or two and do fine. But see, that's trouble now. There's not any job like that. You gotta have a regular job. You know, old Spears and people like that clench the fist all the time.
Oh, yes, he gets rabid. Yes, he does. I don't know what it is. They sure love a fight when they get into that situation.
Yeah.
They can't seem to let it out anywhere else. The ball games don't do it for them. Wrestling on TV.
Yeah.
Like Jack and his family are big wrestling fanatics. TV wrestling.
What?
I went down there to ask him. I've forgotten what I was talking about. Land or something one day. And he says, come in, sit down. And they were... He was cursing because the cable wasn't in. They having a hard time watching this wrestling on.
Yeah.
That's an amazing situation itself, that wrestling. But it's worthwhile spending some time watching the introduction, not the wrestling match. It's just
yeah.
The introduction.
Well,
that's all
you,
I saw. But
that's
the way it is.
You need to go home and wash your feet. Jean. You remember the girl, Jean? Mm-hmm. She was out here today. And let me tell you what she did. I told her I just wasn't going to read any more of that campus stuff. It was just sickening. And she's full of it. And she can handle it. But I don't want to read it. I said, you just simply, if you want to work with me, you simply got to
get off campus.
Associate with some adults. you see, she was out here several times in the summer and she didn't pick up a thing, did she? She just let it all drop.
No, she didn't get started on anything. She called me one time wanting to know if there's a place to stay out here, but it wasn't.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you find them a place when they're
good
looking?
Good Lord, I could rent 5 places a week over there with no problem. They're just not available.
You could?
Oh, yes. And a lot of them are good people.
Who's living with Mr. Barr? They got all that house.
Well, he's probably worse than I am. I don't want anybody living with me. That's a big place. That sprinkler's always running over at his place.
Well, right across the street from me there, Lil. She needs somebody to hang around over there with her.
Did her mother die? I think her mother's still there.
Oh.
Or is she dead? I didn't know.
Oh.
I thought that was it, that her mother was still hanging around
oh,
there.
Oh, I didn't realize that. She's there all by herself.
No, and actually her operation turned out not to be a bad thing. I don't think they really had to do it.
No,
that's good. So I imagine she's relieved about that. No, I don't think that these people would be too apt to be taking in individuals within their own household. And the rental situation is tough over there. It's really tough. You just can't find anything. And if I'd started some years back with a few $100s, I practically own half Macanopee by now. But it's not so anymore.
Well, at least you got a storefront.
Yeah. You could buy things for nothing.
Yeah.
I could have bought Brigman's house and one next to it, $200 down a piece.
Yeah. Well, that's out then.
I wish I could find a place for Jane.
Nothing but a house trailers.
And they're such an abortion.
Yeah.
House trailers. They really are.
Yeah.
No, you don't run out of space for them now, from what I've heard. People come through looking for places to stick them with us.
Well, that's all the business.
So you think you're, hot onto a grant by accident?
No, I'm not hot, but I'm
got wind of it.
I've got to get out of where I am. See, I'm boxed in. I can't move. I get a toehold and then I lose it.
Mm-hmm.
The way it is over there, and it's not geared for anything that I want to do. Now you see, Jane can't work with me. She's working for Honors and English. No good, it'll do her. But then they put up what they call seminars for honors students in English, and she's tied down to them. And they're not worth a damn.
Hmm.
She got one course there. It's a bunch of old critical essays written in the Renaissance in the 18th century. And I can't imagine anything that ought to be burned more.
Critical essays written in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Literary essays written in those times. And I was a hoot. And you see what happens is some graduate professor gets a hold of it, and then he gets that best bunch and takes them out of circulation. Nobody uses them. You see, I've got an Emerson going over there, but she can't get in it. And
mm-hmm.
If she's going to work with me, she needs a little of my terminology.
Yeah.
In that damned,
She hadn't taken Emerson with you yet.
Oh, she had never had a course with me.
Well, hell, it'd do a world of good to crack into that court.
Yes, it would. It sure would. The world looked different. All she's had is that darned old 18th century English literature. What good would that do to you besides just tire you, wear you, wear dirty mind?
Well, I thought, where in the world did you meet her anyhow?
Well, she worked with me one term over there, but it wasn't in any literature course. So, they really can box you in. You just can't get a toehold. All you can do over there is just offer those old standard courses that you don't understand in the first place yourself. Well, anyhow, no use getting off on that. But there's no toeholds left there in Micanopy. No place to live.
No. You can rustle up one. It's all accidental. You might hear, I heard of, two guys came over there one night from here. Two individuals. I don't even remember their name. They came over from CNU. And I told them the only place I knew, and I hadn't heard from them since. I don't know whether they're there or not or what.
Let me tell you.
It's just one of those things.
What I started telling you about Jane, what she did, she knew this preacher up there, Episcopal, taking a degree. She'd known him for a year or two. And he holds forth at Evelyn's Church.
Mm-hmm.
His name.
I met him at the wedding.
Yes.
I don't remember his name.
And she saw you through his eyes at the wedding. Now that, and she can do that.
Oh, he gave a report on that.
He lined out a lot of things for her on the way out here.
Huh.
And then she went to service, and Ms. Evelyn took her over, introduced her around, invited her out here to a swimming party and one thing or another. Or picnic, whatever it is. Maybe it's election. I don't know. I forget. And she gets right in. She can just like in a week's time, she'd act like she'd been there forever. And she'd learn the whole town. And she got more sense than you have. I mean, she's bright. You know, I've always admired these people. I've always worked with people who are smarter than I am. I used to wish to sort of envy them. I don't anymore. I'm glad they're smart, but I just appreciate it, you know. I just see how smart they are.
Sometimes it gets to be a millstone.
No, not with that.
I don't know her that well at all, Jane. Only one time or twice that it met her.
Yeah. You talk about a prose. It's a beautiful prose. Yeah.
She can put it out.
Yes. It's easy, attractive. And she came over here and she sat there talking an hour after Carl left. Van Arnhem was over here. After he left, she sat there and talked an hour about all the things she'd seen. She even went into the sermon. And to the ritual, everything. You see, she sees it without looking. She's like Cookie.
Yeah.
I think she is a little bit like that. So that's
now where does a person pick up something? Are they born with it or what, man?
I wish I knew.
I know what you're getting at, because some people are that way. You can go right side by them, down the street, and sit down, and they. You think they've been dumb, and then they'll tell you every damn thing that went on.
Everything went on. And furthermore, they don't act bright, do they?
Mm-mm.
And now what I noticed about Jane is she always on her feet. She's never off balance. No matter what she's doing, I've seen her. And I've seen her write about, I've seen a number of the things she's written about. A lot of embarrassing, all these rough positions she got into. And she's always never lost her balance. Never. And she can put up with stinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's something, isn't it? I can't do that. I never could.
Lose mine invariably.
You do pretty well.
Rock right back.
Hell, it would be laughing to have people like that. See, we'd get those two around here. We always get the lift out of them, you see.
There's a possibility there might be an apartment in the gallery, and she would be a welcome addition over there. We can get those two.
Get rid of the addicts.
Dope addicts out of there. They're not bad girls. They just need somebody constantly to kick them in the ass all the time, and nobody around there has time to do it.
Yeah. What happened to your babysitter?
Oh, she's entered into Santa Fe.
Oh.
And, you talk about a downfall. See, she just came out of Reed College. And she's the one that was born in the books, and that's been her whole life. And she decided, well, she really didn't want to go back to those schools for some reason. She didn't know why. And she took a bite at life, which was getting into Micanopy. And at only 18 years old, too. And, she's naive. And so now this is her first week at Santa Fe, and I ran into her day before yesterday, and despondent, good Lord, she was down. She just entered kindergarten, in her estimation, and she didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a blow to her,
yeah.
And she was so turned around to be coming out of these intellectual schools, see, and thrown into Santa Fe, in which if you want to do something, you can do it. Good people over there, you know. There's some people that are lively and interesting, but it's geared down to the point that they're not going to hassle people with a lot of stuff. She just couldn't fathom it. She felt really put down. She had she was so shaken with this school.
Well, now are you still got that on your agenda, Santa Fe?
Oh, I'm going in Tuesday to talk to George Huber. I don't know what good it'll do by being paraprofessional over there.
Yeah.
That's
well, now,
right.
who is that fella at the where you talked? Who was he? The one who said, you mean that's happened 12 miles?
Sydney Knight. Yeah. He writes a column now in the newspaper, you know, editorial page. About city politics. He's about 75 years old, white-headed, and he's really the gadfly of Gainesville. That's his position. He's just buzzing down everybody's back all the time. And he stays alert. And he runs all kinds of organizations without being the man. He's always back.
Yeah.
Just he's nervous. He probably has palsy or something.
Yeah.
But he's always on to him.
Yeah.
He would have gone berserk in one of his Micanopy meetings. He couldn't handle it. He wouldn't know where to start. Because his point is straightening things out. He would have been fractured. There would have been no basis from where to start. He couldn't manage it all. See, I go to these meetings he complains about, and I marvel, thinking, well, my word, look at that well-organized meeting. And he comes up with a complaint about how it's run. An objection from the floor or something. I'm thinking all the time how smooth they are. They could get away with murder with me.
Yeah.
They have all the appearances of running things right, and I'm snowed.
I'll tell you, I'll never get over those meetings upstairs in that old schoolhouse. Those two, the first one, I didn't know what was going on. I was bewildered and a little scared. And I had to ask who everybody was. But that next one, that was one of the richest things I ever saw. Which one did you read your paper at? First one or second one?
Oh, that was the first one downstairs. And then the second one moved upstairs. The one that was messed up.
Yeah, messed up.
That was the first meeting upstairs.
That was the first one?
Yeah, the one I got all the way into the paper and couldn't get out of it. I believed him. I believe that man Morrison, that he really wanted an explanation, and Which, I mean, I shouldn't have believed that to start with, much less do what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because of a mistake.
You're really a sucker.
From one end to the other.
Whole team miscalculated.
The idea and the work, the writing, everything.
Yeah.
I was saying, you talking about that bar water report, and it, somehow, if you could really show how Barr was left hanging, you know, so strong, while everything else just washed right under the dam, and he was more or less still on his feet, you might say, when they're back into garbage,
yeah,
into plaques in the city hall.
That's right.
And everything. That everything just kept coming under it. Nothing was ever completed. And then they just keep talking, and this guy jumps up and says, "What's going on?" Well, they're constructing something new, and Barr's still standing there, and the old man's there with his plaque, and he can't get anything out of anybody. It's such a beautiful scene when you stop to think about it. Things get put up, and there's somebody standing waiting, and they're off on another subject altogether.
Yeah.
What was the time I finally said, I was shaking my hand, "What do you want?" He says, "Well, I want to talk about trash." Everybody cracked up.
That's right.
They left the garbage issue hanging in the air.
Yeah.
And they were off and running with something else down the line.
Yeah.
And they never even, and there was this huge argument about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I made a statement, and they quit talking about it, but they never settled it.
No.
You never know. You got appointed at the trash committee.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you,
it's really something.
Can Joe get that those tapes for that meeting? Where?
Glenn or
Joe?
Oh, yeah, I reckon.
You can take them over there so he can bring them over here and put them on a good machine.
Glenn won't let me take
them.
Oh, Glenn wouldn't?
Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, I could probably work that out one way or the other.
Yes, but you don't.
Need to explain it to her.
You always still if you've got something on your mind.
And I've had a whole lot, I'll tell you.
He wants to get that. And Joe not do anything.
Well, before he can get Joe to do it, he got to find Joe in the right mood.
Well, you can get Joe.
Yeah.
He won't do it?
Not straight out he wouldn't do it, but he, it's all according to how he takes it.
Oh.
According to his position for the day, whether he needs to cause trouble or be friendly. And that's just about a fact. According to how his stomach is, what's that? There's Emerson and Thoreau, one of them is talking about the rulers of the world, and it was something to do with the stomach problem. I wish I could remember it. I've thought about it 100 times that the whole fate of the world hinges on the condition of man's stomach. Well, that's Joe Thomas. I mean, he can be just as lovable and friendly and giving one day, and the next day if somebody come over there, and he'd just as soon nail him right to the wall and crucify him on the spot.
Yeah.
Seems that way. He'll do it.
Now, you've never been over and sat with him and listened to him talk about those books?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time over there.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
He doesn't sustain things too.
You've knocked around more than these fellows have. Now, Rick and all of them. You see, you know... You know the way these fellas used to get on a newspaper as a cub reporter, and they'd put them on the police beat one place or another, and they'd stay there 2 or 3 years? Well, you know what happened? That way they went around everywhere and sassed everybody, you see, and passed the time of day, and if they wanted anything, they'd ask them and get it, you see. Well, you see, these fellas haven't done that. They don't know how to do it. And furthermore, they haven't been knocking around that much. They don't know the people that much. And it's hard. It's hard on them. They can't, all this bunch, this crowd up there on the campus, any of them can do that. They're perfectly helpless. Now, you see, you drove a truck for all that time. But, you see, they never even changed a tire out on the highway, most of them.
It's like my little brother.
Well, you see, you gotta get hardened. It's not a matter of getting hardened, it's a matter of just getting broken in, isn't it?
Yeah. Learn to fend for yourself.
Yes, and not be nervous about it.
Society don't want that, it seems like, anymore. I reading the Kohl's publication company, new vice presidents, or Look Magazine, that big publishing company, whatever the name of it is. And one of the new vice presidents is Harrison, who used to be here in town. And I worked for him as a photographer about 10 years ago. And he's my age or younger. And the other vice president name was some guy who came up as Cub Reporter, but he also had a bunch of credentials back of him. But still, he started out messing around down after he got out of Harvard or wherever in the world it was, you know, doing this line duty and that line duty. Harrison married Cole's daughter. He's done a fantastic job. He's got his credentials too, but he didn't have to knock.
Yeah.
That seems like society likes that better. I mean, you get your doctorate degree and jump right into it.
Jump right into it.
Straightforward. You know.
I don't know. Hell, there's a whole lot of things I don't know. But you'd think. Well, now you take Rick wants those little cassettes, and he can't get them. And just this little newlywed gal is always standing between them, between him and them.
Yeah.
And he can't get them. Well, now that's a sad affair, isn't it? When a handsome fellow like that can't get some cassettes that she don't care about, nobody ever will ever use them again. And as she sits there on her ceremony, and says you'd have to use them in the place. Just 3 hours, when you going to use them? She ain't going to be there.
You're right. They'll never touch those things again, except
never
for some historical reference, if they ever happen to think about it.
No historical.
8,000 years from now.
Yes.
If they're still alive.
Yes, they won't be there that long.
Some honor seminar somewhere.
Now, you see, that's what holds things up.
Yeah. Well, maybe she's just backing up with her husband there.
Her daddy was in there at the time.
Oh, yes, okay.
There, yeah.
And Walt refuses to even, to. You talk about standing on tradition and whatnot, or your rights and principles. He's refusing to even run for town council unless they replace her. Not that she can't work there when the day he gets elected. Day he declares, puts his hat in the ring, she's got to quit. I heard Walt say that today.
Oh, really?
And he says, well, the biggest problem is who's going to beat Don Shimwell? I don't know. I saw his wife take off on the motorcycle today and drive from her the trailer all the way down, I reckon, the thrift station on 441 and back without a helmet, glasses, or nothing. Not a blasted thing. And when I was in the mountains, at dusk, I drove a half a block because we readjusted my little brother's bike. I said, let me try it. Got on and cranked it up a half a block and got a $16 fine. And this was way back in the woods. It wasn't a main street or anything. Ran head on into a highway patrolman. I got mad seeing her drive all the way down there. I really did.
Miss Guthrie, you know the boy. What's his name?
Curtis.
Curtis.
Her deputy. Nephew or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I learned a good bit from him, assuming it's Guthrie. He said he said the patrolmen or the deputies were so scarce that he was, when he was on duty, he was the only one from Gainesville east to the county line. And he got calls all up and down the line. That's how few deputies there are.
Oh, that, I've got to tell you this one. Willie Wade told me yesterday. I had a good conversation with him. I've forgotten exactly how it came up. We were talking about thievery or something. And he works over there at the Wahlberg. I didn't know that. Like at the Wahlberg camp. And Bob Stanley, you know, lives in the house right next to Wahlberg. That really nice. I photographed it. Really nice wooden structure. Well, they got a burglar alarm system installed in their house. The dog failed them. They were really hacked off. One day I went in there, and I wasn't supposed to go in. I was photographing. I was supposed to contact them, and it all messed up, and I said, hell, I've got to go get this done, and they know it anyhow. I walked right on in. The dog was fine. Friendly. The dog got so big. And they got home, and they were hacked. That dog lit me in the house and didn't do anything but lick me. And so they installed a burglar alarm system. And Willie says, it went off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he gets off at 4. And the neighbors went, looked at it, and then they went back and they called the police, saying, well, the burglar alarm system's off, gone off, and something better be done about it. We don't know whether to go over there and check it out or not. So be right there, right out on the Williston cutoff. Be right there. 4 o'clock, he shows up an hour later. And Willie said, I decided I'd just stay there to see what was going on instead of going home because I wanted to see what was happening. He said, the sheriff pulled up in the car. He said, he got out of the car. He said, all right, everybody stand back. I don't want anybody hurt. And then he said, he unholstered his gun, and there's a walkway that goes, it's a wooden walk that goes with a slant up to the back of the building. Enter on the second floor. I mean, you can't enter around the garage, but he chose this walkway. So he pulls his gun out and he goes walking up there to the big heavy lattice screen door to get on the front porch. And he starts pushing it, see, and it doesn't open. And it looks like sort of part of the house, too. You can't really tell. And finally, he turns around and says, how do you get into this place? So he comes back down, and the neighbor gives him the key. Okay, he gets his gun back out, and he goes tiptoeing back up the walk again, you know, after that scene. And Willie said he unlocked the door, stood back, and kicked it open. Now, this is the lattice door. You can see through it. There are places this big you can see through the door. And he stood back and kicked it open. And then he goes and he jumps inside, you know, and he walks around for about a half a minute. Now, this is a complicated house. It's got nooks and crannies you never saw before in your life. Yeah. If you're going to look for somebody, you got to do some looking. He comes out about a half a minute later and says, I don't think there's anybody in there. It's okay. And he says, how about turning off the alarm? He says, man, that's your problem. I don't know anything about alarms. Yeah, he said he had to stay and watch it, and it turned out fine. It just kept going.
Well, now that's the most insane account I've heard from one of the.
Oh Lord, that was funny. That's our police protection.
I decided the best thing was to leave the law and just run off somewhere. And leave it.
You just have to learn how to run fast if you want to be safe. Well, you know, when they had that ruckus in Micanopy, it was one unidentified man that was purportedly dangerous. They didn't know who he was, what he had done, where he had came from. They knew nothing. There were 6 law enforcement agencies and 48 men surrounding that building. They shot 17 canisters of tear gas into the building. Had the Gainesville Fire Department down there. For one man, they didn't know who he was, what he had done, or actually whether he was really there yet or not. That was the damnedest spectacle that's ever gone on. 47 of 48 policemen.
Now, from six,
this happened at the gallery. That's just another Micanopy story. You can call it the Micanopy Massacre. 17 canisters of tear gas, and one canister would wipe out Florida Field if it was properly placed.
Yeah.
Run everybody out of there.
Yeah.
Hell, the kids couldn't even go back in the place for 4 days. I couldn't, man. I tried to go in 3 days later, and I couldn't walk in the front door.
It's that strong.
Whew, it's terrible. One of the neatest things that happened, they thought everybody was out, except this real crazy girl and her boyfriend lived in the top apartment. And they'd heard all the ruckus, and figured it was a dope bust, so they went and hid all their dope, and then went back to bed. Figured that's the best thing to do. And the boy, he got up to take a leak, and they both sleep naked, and so all of a sudden here's this great crash, and he turned around, there's a tear gas canister right in their bedroom, just exploded, you know, and so he goes rushing over to the window and yelling, you know, like, what in the hell do you think you're doing? There are people sleeping up there. He's screaming, and the whole street's full of police cars and lights. So they get the ladder and bring it over there for him, and he skinnies down in a hurry, and then here comes Kristen, naked as a jaybird, and she's got a fine body anyhow, and she's coming down this thing like a cat. God damn you, son of a bitch, you know, she's cursing, you know.
Oh, is she?
All the way down, just naked as she can be, from the third floor, so you're about 30-something feet up, coming down this ladder. Well, they have a whole bunch of police cars surrounding it with the lights all over the building. Well, every light went right up on this ladder. They forgot about the suspect for a while, see? And about that time, Frank Reaver, he gets woke up and decides he's got to see what's going on. So he jumped in his truck, and, you know, his road dead ends into the gallery building. So he's driving down the road in the truck, and the first thing he sees is this naked girl climbing down the ladder. So he pulls his truck up to a halt and meets her at the foot of the ladder and says, here, you want to get in my truck? And she says, hell no. Oh, that happened about last November or something like that. Oh, that was really righteous.
Well, that did recently.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something. The guy was crazy. He came in there. I think he did have a gun. I mean, it was a whole bunch of story went on prior to the time he got there. The point is, the police didn't know it. Somebody just called up and said that they thought this man had gone into the gallery building. And sure enough, he had. And Paul had finally talked this fellow into saying, look, if you've got problems, I think the best thing for you to do is work these problems out somewhere else. There's nobody in here that's going to help you. So he'd walked him all the way down from the third floor, and he was about to step out the door, and he looked, and he saw a policeman with a shotgun, and that was it. Back up he went. And that started the whole ruckus. Then they evacuated everybody out of the building, they thought, except for this one couple. They evacuated them, too. Good gracious. And old George Wilson, it woke him up, and he says, those goddamn hippies, I'll show them. He got his shotgun out. And he was sneaking through the bushes. He was going to shoot at them. And fortunately for him, he saw the policeman first and turned around and went back home. because if they'd seen him with a gun,
oh,
it would have been all hell, because they just come away from seeing Adam 12 or something like that on TV, and they were ready. They were ready for anything. And if he popped out of the bushes with a shotgun, it'd have been hell to pay. They had the university campus, Marion County Police, Lockhart County Police, Gainesville Police, FBI, and Highway Patrol.
Well, that's impossible.
It happened. Then the fire department came down. They even lured men on top of the building with asbestos suits on. Went to that extreme. And they had tear gas. This poor man passed. He'd been in tear gas for 6 hours. I don't know if he ever lived, even tell you the truth, when they finally found him. I can't take it for a minute. He's been in 6 hours. It can ruin you, the tear gas.
6 hours? You got to breathe down there.
I don't know. He had a bad check charge against him. Yeah, from.
Wait, does anything lively ever come out of Thrasher's store?
I saw something this afternoon. That little girl that works there, neat, blonde.
Yeah.
You ever seen her? No. Probably about 17 or 18.
I didn't know he had anybody with.
Well, it's her relative, his relative, I'm sure. She had the Thrasher appearance. I saw her driving down the street today just laughing. I thought to myself, what's happened? She even did one of those things of just laughing and falling under the wheel. Had a paper cup in her hand, just laughing, slid under the wheel, driving down the street. And you walk into Thrasher's, and it's this air of solemnity that you go into there. Turn on the light. Don't worry, I'll get it for you. Get your nickel piece of chewing gum. That's the only thing lively I ever saw. It was that, and that was on the street 3 blocks from there. Well, the other lively thing was his letter he wrote to council.
Mr.
Thrasher? Yes, the letter regarding taxing on the horses. Oh, I thought you heard that one.
No,
well, it was the Ebling. Ebling brought up questioning, well, look, you're taxing the horses. Now, is everybody getting taxed? Yeah. What about Mr. Thrasher? Mr. Thrasher been taxed? And Morgeson says, what about that, Ms. Cruz? Says, well, I don't know. I think I have a letter here somewhere. And she starts fumbling around in the papers. And so they go on about some other subject, and finally says, oh, I've got the letter. And she pulls out this letter, and it says to the town council or something, and it's from Mr. Thrasher, and he says, I can't remember, quote the letter, but he says he's 87 years old and he's too old to pay tax for horses. And besides that, he only uses on weekends for his grandchildren to ride. And he rustles, and Claire Cruz never did anything about it. She just kept the letter. He shouldn't have to pay $25 tax for his
horses. He's too old to sell.
Yes.
He's too old to pay taxes. He's
too old to be charged $25 tax for his horses. Besides that, he only used them on weekends for his grandchildren to ride.
Now that's the old world, isn't it?
Yes. And she didn't do it. She had that letter on file, and she hadn't issued him a permit.
She had it on file. And it wasn't bothering anybody.
No, it worked with her.
She was
too.
Made a lot of logical sense.
Who brought it up to the point? Was it somebody saying?
I forgot.
Somebody brought it up?
Well, it's like moving cars. Like, if one person moves them, how come the other one doesn't? And they got onto the horses and wondered if everybody had done the paying. Well, that was one of the funniest things I've heard. And Thrasher wrote the letter himself.
You know,
87 years old. He was too old to pay taxes for never. Yeah, that happened probably that first meeting down here.
Maybe Jane could be the clerk.
By God, we ought to get her moved in there. I'll root around and find her a place.
Yeah. She could be clerk. Then we get the record.
Oh, Lord, that'd be something. Before they get up either, we wouldn't know.
You know, two people really wanted that job as clerk and applied for it and got scared off by all the stuff that's going on and resigned before they were ever accepted. All this stuff happening. No, I don't want any part of that. And they left.
Oh, wouldn't that be something if Jane could be the clerk? Wouldn't that be something? I'm telling you, she'd be right the heart of it, wouldn't she?
Oh, yes.
And she wouldn't miss a thing, Wade. Oh, she wouldn't. God almighty, wouldn't that be something?
Well, I hate to think what would happen if this election comes off and Eblen runs and Shimwell runs and nobody runs against them and you got Eddie Glover,
yeah,
Troy Blakely, Walt Eblen, and Don Shimwell on the council.
I guess Walt Eblen is already thinking about that, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I mean, you talk about an array of people. Oh, Bill Proctor made a good observation. How do you put it? He said, well, it's a good thing Walt's running, because he's logical. He's really logical. And Troy, he's emotional. And the two can sort of balance each other out, and it's true. Walt is just as... It goes like this. You know, everything proceeds from this point to that point.
I don't believe anything going to proceed logically or emotionally either if you get that other fellow on the council, Wade.
Oh, that'd be disruptive.
I think it's a lost cause.
You're just about better off the way it was.
Did you get Harriet to stay on there a little longer?
Ask Morganson if he won't run. Against Don Chimwell. The town goes down and asks him, please run. That's something else. That's true. If Chimwell gets on, it's
Frank Weaver. Couldn't he do it?
Well, I don't think he feels too stable at the present moment. He's getting divorced. He said his wife took the wind. A statement I hadn't heard. I thought it was right interesting. So, I don't know whether he's really going to stay right in Micanopy or not.
Is Frank the one who lived back in Mr. Weaver's?
Yes.
Yes. What happened to her?
She took the wind.
She left him.
I think, well, Frank is, I think strange things are happening to Frank. I don't think he ever wanted to be stable as Billy and Wesley.
Oh.
And he's a strange guy. He's just looking forward to just being done with everything. Just lighting out.
Is his wife taking those children?
Mm-hmm.
They're nice children.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
Reasonably peaceable. They're not quite as ornery as some of them around there.
So Frank just can light out himself.
No, I don't think he would hold any fondness for Micanopy in particular.